our Bibles and turn over to the book of Genesis. We've been going through looking at these different dispensations. And all I'm doing is trying to lay a, we laid a foundation about why we need to rightly divide and go through here and look at different things and different examples we gave. And so what I'm trying to do now is just go over each one and kind of tell you about it, like where it started, where it ended, and some things, some details about them to hopefully help you understand the Bible a little bit more when you're going through and reading it. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be confusing. And so we're going through here. The first one we looked at was the dispensation of innocency. The dispensation of innocency. And that covers Genesis 1:28 through Genesis 3:22. Begins with the creation of Adam, and it ends with the expulsion from the garden. We told you that every dispensation in the Bible, every time period ends with man's disobedience and God's judgment. And every dispensation begins with the grace of God. And God gives man another opportunity. And so we looked at the covenant that is associated with each one also. And the dispensation of innocency there in the very beginning in the garden, it was the Edenic covenant. We looked at some of those things. And then last week, or whenever it was, I believe it was last week, wasn't it? We looked at the dispensation of conscience. The dispensation of conscience. That begins in Genesis 3:23, ends in Genesis 6:12. It begins with Adam's life outside of the garden, and it ends with the announcement of Noah's flood. And we looked at the covenants associated with them. We find the Adamic covenant, the A-D-A-M-I-C, Adamic covenant, the covenant associated with Adam. And that's where God gave them and spelled out exactly what was going to take place because of their sin. We looked at the woman, the man, the serpent, and we're also looking at the plan of salvation for each one and what God told them that they had to do during that time in order to be right with Him, in order for their salvation during that time. So we're going to look at the next one here this morning, or tonight, Galatians chapter 6. I'm sorry if I seem kind of scatterbrained. I don't know if it's morning or night anymore these days. been putting in some late hours and getting up early. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 13. So now we're going to look at the dispensation of human government or social government. So in the very beginning there at the Garden of Eden, they were there. God told them the only thing that they could not do was eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They could eat of any other tree, but not that tree. And they ate of that tree, the knowledge of good and evil. And so God had to remove them from the garden, and there's some punishments that came down. Well, the second dispensation, the dispensation of conscience, God gave them a conscience. When they ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, now they knew what was right, they knew what was wrong. They had a God-given conscience that we looked over in Romans that said would either excuse them or unexcuse them, and that conscience would guide them and tell them what was right or wrong. And the Bible says they ended up doing every evil thing they could imagine or thought of. And so they did not obey that conscience. Well, now God's going to say, well, I gave you that environment in the garden and told you not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I gave you a conscience to guide you, and you didn't obey it. So now He's going to instruct man to govern themselves, to govern one another. And Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 13, this is where this dispensation begins, when they're coming off of the ark. And they're getting ready to go on the ark here, and God's about to destroy it, and God is showing mercy, showing grace to Noah and his family, to mankind, because God could have destroyed them all. I showed you verses last week where it said that God repented that He made man. God repented that He actually created man. But He's going to give grace, He's going to give mercy, because He saw something in Noah. And so this dispensation begins in Genesis 6:13. I'm just going to read the one verse. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And so God's judgment is passed down because He gave them a conscience to guide them, and they did every wicked thing they could think of. Now God promised that He would never destroy the earth like that again, which is that flood. And so if you ever see the floodwaters rising, you know, it might take out a city or something, but don't worry, it's not taking out everything because God promised He wouldn't do that again. Amen? But He will destroy this earth one day again. He's going to burn it up. And the Bible says, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, with the wickedness everywhere, and we're going to, God's going to have to deal with that sin. That's what we're dealing with, some of that stuff now. And so this dispensation begins with Noah's exit from the ark. When Noah steps off the ark, God's going to give him some instructions that he never gave Adam in the garden. He never gave to Adam's sons. These are different instructions that God's going to give him. And so he's going to instruct them here. We're going to go over some of that. So it begins with Noah's exit from the ark. It ends, this dispensation, this time period ends with the Tower of Babel, with the confounding of the tongues at the Tower of Babel. And so as we're going through here, and you can see as we're going through our Bible, that God, in every single time period, God has dealt with man in certain ways. And they're not all the same. God didn't deal with man then the same exact way that he does now. He gives them different instructions. And we showed that when we gave examples of how God dealt with things in the Old Testament versus how he deals with them in the New Testament. And so it ends with the Tower of Babel. The covenant associated with the dispensation of human government is the Noahic covenant. N-O-A-H-I-C, the Noahic covenant. This was the instructions that God gives to Noah and his family. This covenant was unconditional. Remember, I told you that the covenants that God gave, they were either conditional or unconditional. Conditional meant that man had a part to do in it. They had their part to do. If they kept up their part of it, God kept up his part. The unconditional ones where it doesn't matter what man does, God's going to do his part. This was an unconditional covenant. Genesis chapter number 8. Look at Genesis chapter number 8. These are some of the things that God told Noah after him and his family came off the ark, when God is giving him some instructions here. Genesis chapter 8, verse number 20. And if you're there, say amen. All right, Genesis 8, 20. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Now, Noah had learned how to do this thing, this offering and all that back, you know, from previous. God had a sacrifice in the Garden of Eden. He had to kill an animal so that they could have the coats of skin. And they have the example of the garden and this sacrifice that because of sin, something has to die. The wages of sin is death. And so they have that example. So Noah builds an altar when he gets off this ark, and he makes sacrifices to the Lord, burnt offerings unto the Lord. And the Lord smelled, in verse number 21, a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. And so what God said here is that he will not curse the ground any more or smite every living thing. That's what he told Noah there when he got off the ark. He wouldn't do that no more. He also said there in verse 22 that there would be seasons. So before the flood there, you know, they didn't deal with these seasons. But now, because of that flood, he said there was going to be, while the earth remained, the seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. It's instructions that God's telling Noah, this is how it's going to be now. Look at Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. All this stuff is stuff that God's telling Noah when he came off the ark. Genesis chapter 9, look at verse number 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So some of his instructions were to replenish the earth. He wanted to multiply, wanted to fill the earth back up. Look at verse number 4. Verse number 4. But flesh... let me see here. Verse number 3. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, ye shall not eat. And so God did not want them to eat blood. Now, I could take you and show you throughout the Bible where God doesn't want people eating blood. He doesn't want them, you know, eating blood. And we can do that sometime, go through there and look at that. We might look at it as we go through there, but partake. Well, here, I got it right here. Let's look at it. Hold your place there. Look at Leviticus chapter 17. Partaking of blood was forbidden before the law. It was forbidden during the law, and it was forbidden after the law. God did not want man partaking of blood. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 14. So before the law, we find that here in Genesis chapter 9, he said he does not want them partaking of blood. In Leviticus 17, 14, this was during the law, when they were under law. Leviticus 17, 14, when you're there, say amen. Leviticus 17, 14, for it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh. For the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. So during the law, they were not allowed to eat blood. So what about after the law? Look at Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. You know, it's a pretty important thing here if God deals with it throughout Scripture. Something he does not want man to be involved with. Acts chapter 15, verse number 19. Acts 15, 19, the Bible says, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from what?
Blood.
For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. So you have before the law, during the law, after the law. God said he does not want man partaking of blood. And he wants us to abstain from blood. And so this was instructions that God gave, part of what he gave Noah. Go back to Genesis 9. I hope you saved your place there. We're going to look at a couple more verses. Genesis chapter number 9. All right, we looked at verse 1, verse 4. Look at verse number 11. Verse number 11. Bible says, and I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. So God promised that he would not destroy the earth again by a flood. And he made sure to tell you that he was talking, you know, I'm not going to do it that way again. All right, so that's a promise he made there in the Noahic covenant. Look at verse number 13. Verse 13, the Bible says, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between men and men. That's not what it says, does it? But that's what it's been ruined as. Amen. I can't. All right. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. Covenant that God made with the earth, that he was not going to destroy it by that flood again. So every time you see a rainbow in the sky, that's a reminder of what God promised Noah here in the Noahic covenant, and that he would put that rainbow. And it sickens me to see what they've done with the rainbow. It does. Amen. You got kids that, you know, my kids like rainbows. They like colorful things, and they wear a rainbow on their shirt, and you just about don't want them to wear it outside because of what they've done with the rainbow. Amen. It's sickening. That's what the world does. They want to take something that's God's, and they want to destroy. That's what the devil's been trying to do from the beginning. He's been trying to counterfeit everything that God has and ruin it and destroy it. He's trying to do it to this Bible right here, but praise God, it's still standing. Amen. And we're going to do the best we can to keep it raised up high when it's falling all over the place. So. All right, look at verse number 5, Genesis 9, 5. Now, this is another thing here that really gets a lot of people. God is the one that established capital punishment. God instituted that. And this is what God told man, Noah, this is how I want you to deal with things. He established human government. God wanted them to govern one another. They were innocent in the garden, and they ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They had their conscience to guide them. They didn't obey their conscience. And now God wants them to govern one another. And this is what he tells them, Genesis 9, verse number 5. And all the days that Adam lived were And let me see, where am I? I'm in chapter 5. Y'all pray for me. Genesis chapter 9. Verse number 5. "And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." God instituted capital punishment. People don't like to hear that, man. This is just me ranting. We waste so many tax dollars on people that are supposed to be, You say, "That's awful, Brother Andrew." Well, if they commit murder, then they ought to be put to death.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's Bible. You say, "Well, that's Old Testament." Okay, look at Romans chapter 13. Hold your place there in Genesis. Romans chapter number 13. How many billions of dollars would America save every year if they just did that? And if they let people know that's what we're doing, how many murders would stop?
Right.
People say, "Wait a second, I'm probably not going to do that." Right now, I mean, I was talking to a guy last night. We were just about midnight last night working down there. And one of the customers I was sitting there working with, he said, "You know what? You know what I got to thinking the other day?" I said, "What's that?" He said, "If I was in prison..." He said, I would have already eaten tonight. I probably would have watched a show, and I'd be laying in bed right now sleeping. In a comfortable bed. I wouldn't be out here freezing. Healthcare. I mean, he just started naming it down. Isn't that a sad thought? You think if somebody's in prison, that ought to be rough. But it's not. I don't know. All right, I got to... All this human rights stuff. We're in the Laodicean church age, the age of rights. All right, where am I going? Romans 13, look at verse number 1. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." We don't want to hear that either, but that's what the Bible says. "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." There's a New Testament verse for it right there. Before the law... After the law. What about during the law? Look at Numbers chapter number 35. Numbers chapter 35. This is another one of those things where God instituted capital punishment. And you see it throughout the Bible. Before the law, during the law, and after the law. Numbers chapter number 35. If you were to ever really study God's character in the Bible, you'd want to live right. Amen. You know, the Bible, it's a scary thing. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Amen. Well, I just take my Halloween message. That's Hebrews 10:31. Isn't Halloween 10:31? Or 10:30, what was it, 10:30 or 10:31? 10:31. Hebrews 10:31 is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And so, but if you really study that thing, I mean, everybody wants to talk about how, and God did love the world so much that he sent his son to die for him. But after that, the wrath of God falls on that person. And he says, if you kill somebody, then you need to be killed. I mean, that's just what it is. And God laid this stuff down. And, there's people don't want to hear it, but that's what it is. So if you really study the character of God and his attributes throughout the Bible, he is a holy, righteous God. And he's right for everything that he would do. All right, look what God says here during the law. He's given the law about murder. If somebody murders somebody, In Numbers chapter 35, verse 30. You there? Numbers 35, verse 30. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to what? Death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. That's because, you know, if your wife got mad at you, she could get you put to death. So you got to be more than one person. All right? For not calling him Lord. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer. And that's true. It shouldn't be satisfaction in the life of killing somebody, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. If you kill, you're to be killed. And if we would do that here, there's countries that do it. I mean, they don't play around. Some of this stuff, they're talking about all this peace and loving everybody. And all. You go to some of these other countries, and, you know, you don't have a choice in the matter. This is what they're going to do. They're a lot more biblical than we are. Some people don't want to hear this, but Muslims are probably more biblical than we are in a lot of areas. They are. I mean, about some of the stuff they follow in the Bible. Don't shoot me. I can't hide behind this thing. I'm dead. But, man, if you really follow what the Bible says. So God says if you kill somebody, you should be put to death. All right, let me just give you this last part here, and I'll be done. I'm going over. So the dispensation of human government. God gave him this Noahic covenant. It's unconditional. He promised these things that he would do for the earth, for man. He told them to govern one another. If you kill somebody, then you're to be killed. And if you go through there, I don't have time to go through everything that God gave them instructions to do. But God told them to govern one another, to keep each other accountable. If you mess up, if you sin, now that's a good thing to have even today. If I see Brother Johnny doing something, or he sees me and he says, "Brother, I just." That's not right. Look what the Bible says here. Keeping one, that's good. Amen. But they had to do that. That's what God told them to do, to keep each other accountable there. And if someone was to die, kill somebody, they were to be killed. And so they had to govern one another. This is what God told them to do. In order for them to be right with God, they had to do this thing. And so their salvation, if you want to say it that way, was faith. Faith's involved in all of it. And the grace of God's involved with all of it. But there was works involved because they had to govern themselves. They had to obey the laws that were set, that God gave them. There was no other plan given at that time but this. This is what God told them to do. They had to govern one another. Look at Genesis chapter 9 with me one more time. Look at verse number 1. I'm just going to read down through verse number 6 real quick. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth." So he's given them dominion over these animals here. "The dread of them shall fall upon them. And upon and all the fish of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, you shall not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast, will I require at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." So God's telling them here that they're to govern one another and that they're supposed to keep this thing in mind. Now they have their conscience still. They still had a God-given conscience to guide them like we read about over there in Romans. You say, what ended up happening to man in the dispensation of human government? Look at Genesis chapter number 11. What happened to him? What happened to Adam and Eve in the garden? They ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God told them not to. What happened in the age of conscience where God gave them a conscience to guide them? What happened there? They did every evil thing they could imagine. They didn't obey their God-given conscience. What happened in human government? God told them to govern one another. And what happened there? Look at verse number 1, Genesis 11, 1. Man disobeyed again. Man did not self-govern. The Bible says there in Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar, and they said, 'Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad the face of the whole earth. Look at verse number 6. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have, what? Imagine to do. God told them to govern one another. And he said, now they've come together, and man, there's nothing going to hold these people back. And I don't know, I've heard a lot of preachers talk and heard prophecy guys talk and said that civilization was very advanced. I mean, they might have been as advanced as we are, I don't know, for their time or whatever, but they were very, very advanced. They were coming together, and we're almost back there. This world wants a one-world system, a one-world government, one currency. They all want to come together, and they want to do it without God. Is that not where we're at today? That's what they want to do. They want to do it without God. So God looked at that and said, he didn't obey. They're obeying their imagination again, doing whatever they could think of. They did not govern one another. And so look at verse number 5. We're going to read down through verse 9, and then we'll be done. So every dispensation ends with man's disobedience, and it ends with God's judgment. Genesis chapter 11, verse 5, And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. So God came down and said, I got to check this thing out. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. And I don't guess you hear it too much anymore, but whenever someone was just babbling on, you ever hear somebody talk about that? Well, why are you babbling on? Just spit it out. And so that's where that comes from right there, from the Bible. So God confounded the language, and he scattered all the people. That was his judgment. He said, hey, this isn't going to work. You are not governing one another. So he scattered them all, and he confounded the language. I mean, imagine sitting there working on the air conditioner unit, you and your family. And next thing you know, he's speaking Chinese, and you're speaking, who knows what. And you say, well, this ain't going to work. So you got to go around and find somebody else speaking like you do so you can go off somewhere. I mean, God confounded the whole. This is where all the languages came from. It was all one language up to this point. And God said, this isn't going to work. And so he confounded it and separated it and go on. So the next dispensation we have is the dispensation of promise. So God's going to take a step back, and he's going to say, I'm going to call me out of people. And this is where we see the Jews. And Abraham, the father of the Jews, is called out. And we're going to see that here, where God's going to call Abraham to himself and make promises with him and with his seed. And we have the Abrahamic covenant that we're going to look at, Lord willing. Not next week, because we're doing pottery next week. I'm not doing pottery. I'm going to watch pottery being done. So, Lord willing, I think that'll be good. So I encourage y'all to invite people to come to it. And, I think you ought to invite them to come anytime, but I think there'll be a good opportunity to get their foot in the door. So invite them to come, and then hopefully in a few weeks we'll get back on this thing here. So, all right, let's all start.